Across the heartland of America, farmers are stumbling upon mysterious boxes of ticks scattered in their fields.
There are ticks everywhere. In 30 years, 20-some years of having horses, I've never had to deal with these many ticks.
While reports flood in of unnatural surges in tick populations, dropping like a biblical plague from the skies.
Weird stuff.
There it is right there, the tick box. I'm not going to touch it because there's ticks all over that thing. I know there is. Look at them crawling out of it. Millions of them. You can see the ticks.
And even boa constrictors in Florida that are invasive, they're now suddenly getting eaten and dying off because there's so many ticks all over them. I mean, this is just out of control.
As tick-borne illnesses explode nationwide, Lyme disease cases have skyrocketed, with ER visits for bites hitting multi-year highs this spring.
Look at my face and my neck. I can't eat red meat anymore. I can't have any animal byproducts in anything. And it's in everything. This is alpha-gal syndrome.
A 47-year-old New Jersey man ate a burger in 2024 and died 4 hours later. 2 weeks earlier, he got sick after eating a steak. It's called alpha-gal syndrome. It usually starts with a bite from a Lone Star tick that sensitizes a person's immune system to a sugar molecule found in the meat of mammals called alpha-gal. Reactions can include hives, nausea, and life-threatening anaphylaxis.
Yet just as the panic builds, pharmaceutical giants are fast-tracking a new Lyme disease vaccine, poised for rollout amid the chaos.
Stephen Rich, a professor of microbiology at UMass Amherst, he has studied ticks for decades. He is watching as Pfizer is now seeking approval on a Lyme disease vaccine.
What they found was that it was about 73% efficacious, meaning that it worked about 73% of the time.
Vaccine went to market in the late 90s, but failed.
For one reason or another, the company, arguably they said because of sales, took it off the market.
The demand now is high, but Rich and his researchers fear the public may see a vaccine as a tick cure-all.
If you got rid of Lyme disease, you won't get rid of ticks.
If approved, the vaccine could be a four-dose vaccination series, 3 injections in 1 year and a booster at year two.
So, I mean, if this vaccine is approved, it would be a game changer in the fight against Lyme disease.
And it's nothing new. From Cold War tick experiments to Plum Island Labs, bioweapons research has turned insects into silent vectors for years.
Did we actually use ticks as bioweapons?
Yes, it's actually in CIA documents that have been declassified. For instance, infected ticks were deployed from C-130s flying low over sugarcane fields in Cuba back in the day under President Kennedy. There is abundant evidence of the testing, field testing, of infected ticks and other insects in a variety of settings. In the United States and elsewhere, clearly USAMRIID was involved, and in particular the Plum Island facility that had been a biowarfare investigative facility up in Long Island region, and then was transferred over to USDA, was involved in a lot of this research.
Possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the Lone Star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering.
We've seen this playbook before, and only too recently. Create or amplify the crisis, suppress natural treatments and honest debate, then roll out the profitable fix. Declassified documents on military insect releases and ongoing congressional probes into Lyme's bioweapon origins only deepen the suspicion. The government parasites are literally sucking the blood from its own people. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Yes, Alex. Yes. Ready you are.
Your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to War Room Live here on the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got a very big show for you today. We'll be spending a lot of it monitoring the situation in Kentucky. So we'll be giving you sort of the latest, as it is election day there, and we should start to see returns coming in. We'll be visiting a couple people there in Kentucky on the ground. We'll connect with Tiffany Cianci in this first hour, find out how things are going, what the status of the party is at this point, and then we'll be joined at 4:30 by Kristan T. Harris. He's also there on the ground in Kentucky, and We've got a third guest as well, and I'm blanking on who it is. I'm so excited about what's happening with Thomas Massie, and of course it's sort of up in the air still. I mean, we're getting different. Michael Cargill, of course. Michael Cargill, we talked to originally when he had to storm onto a city bus to stop somebody stealing guns from his store, and now it turns out some of the guns stolen from his store may have been used in the serial random shooting that occurred in Austin, and we talked about quite a bit yesterday. So very excited to talk to him. It's maybe the first time that we connect on Zoom since we're in our new satellite studio. So very jam-packed show we have for you today, and we've got a lot of videos to show you as well. Obviously, the ticks are still a major discussion. The data centers continue to be a major topic of conversation, and I think we'll start with Massie, and of course it goes into the AI data center, since he actually is one of the primary movers stopping the data centers from being able to destroy everything in their vicinity. I'm not even kidding. The immunity bill Thomas Massie helped to stop going forward is just another in his very long line of legislative victories. Today's the day. Will Massie get primaried? That's from Zero Hedge. The closely watched race is the state's fourth congressional in the fourth congressional district, where incumbent Representative Massie faces retired Navy SEAL Ed Galrain. President Donald Trump endorsed Galrain after criticizing Massie over several votes he took in Congress. Trump has success backing primary challengers and knocking off incumbents in several primary elections, including in Indiana and Louisiana. This one's a little bit different. They are pulling out all the stops and spending all of the money trying to unseat Thomas Massie. And I have the feeling that there is a divide between people in the know and the average normie out there in how they're going to perceive what's going on with Thomas Massie. I think everybody who's a congressman now, who is, you know, involved at the higher levels, everybody recognizes that obviously, and, you know, the articles say this, this is a referendum on Israel. This is basically Israel trying to unseat an unfriendly conservative in the Republican Party. And obviously, the reason they're spending so much money on this is because they want to send a message to the other congressmen of, it doesn't matter how secure your seat is. It doesn't matter how good of a congressman you are. We have the ability to unseat you when your only crime, the only demerit on your record, is opposition to Israel. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, full blown hatred. You just have to not be willing to give them everything they want immediately. And that's enough. They will pull out all the stops. They will go to the ends of the earth to destroy you, to send a message to everybody else. I think that's what the people in power and the people who observe this stuff thoughtfully, or that's the conclusion they're coming to. Meanwhile, the story being told to the average normie out there is that this is all about Donald Trump, and this is about opposition to Donald Trump, and this is a referendum on Donald Trump's control of the Republican Party. That's the story being told by people like Ben Shapiro, and I'll show you that clip in just a second. I know we have clip 20. I think there should be that same video, but shorter, because I don't want to have to show the whole 3-minute interview. But again, it's not really even a question of what is behind this, except that he, you know, Donald Trump has made himself the center of the opposition to Thomas Massie because Thomas Massie has gone against Donald Trump in certain instances. However, the context of those instances is important. He goes against Donald Trump when Donald Trump goes against America. When Donald Trump is serving Israeli interests over American interests, Thomas Massie opposes him. And that's what this is really all about. Again, it's pathetic to see Donald Trump using his platform, using his gravitas in this way. Not exactly surprising after, you know, how things have been going for the last little while. But let's go and go to clip number 5 here, because again, it's not a question as to what is behind the Thomas Massie ousting, right? Trump's revenge tour comes for Massie. They're trying to blame this on Donald Trump. But again, Donald Trump is doing this in service to and because of Thomas Massie's failure to uphold Israeli interest. Massie's primary is the most expensive in history. Pro-Israel groups have played a huge part. That's from Politico. Ad spending in the race to unseat the rebellious Republican has smashed House records. The pro-Israel lobby that's pumped millions into Democrat primaries this year is facing the next test of its political power on the right in ruby red Kentucky. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, and other pro-Israel interest group have uncorked over $9 million in a bid to unseat Republican Representative Thomas Massie on Tuesday in a competitive primary that has shattered spending records. Prominent pro-Israel GOP donors have funneled millions into a super PAC stood up by Donald Trump's political operation that has spent nearly $7 million on the race. Overall ad spending is top $32 million, making it the most expensive House primary on record per tracking firm Ad Impact. Pro-Israel groups got the opening they needed to spend big against the isolationist lawmaker when Trump decided to front a primary challenger to Massie, presenting the first serious threat to his reelection in over a decade. The Republican Jewish Committee Coalition Victory Fund and United Democracy Project, APAC's super PAC, have attacked the incumbent for his votes against symbolic measures supporting Israel. So it's not exactly confusing about, you know, what is behind the antipathy towards Thomas Massie, but Ben Shapiro is here to lie and distract from the, you know, actual underlying cause. Let's go now to clip number 5.
Not a surprise that Massey's friends are all of the most conspiratorial anti-Israel people on planet Earth. That would include Cenk Uygur, right, who put out a tweet: if Representative Thomas Massie loses tomorrow, the Republicans will become Israel's party. It's about Israel. By the way, it's not about Israel. I'll explain in a moment. Republicans will give them as much of our money as possible and go to war for them whenever they ask. Israel 100% control the GOP because every member will be scared to death of opposing them. Now, again, the reason why Massie is in hot water here has nothing to do with his stance with regard to Israel. It has everything to do with his stance with regard to conspiratorial nonsense about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he has voted against a wide variety of President Trump's priorities in Congress. He's sort of a Ron Paul figure who votes against large priorities of the Republican Party, which has ticked off President Trump pretty extraordinarily. Massie is trying this dumb routine. Massie himself is out there saying that Israel is trying to buy his seat in Congress. Again, my dude, like this tactic is one of the dumbest tactics. I just have to say it's a tactic made for stupid people. Okay, the reality is that people who are pro-Israel do not like Thomas Massie because Thomas Massie has engaged in every conspiracy theory it is possible to engage in and has made common cause with the most anti-Israel people. That's true. But the reason that Thomas Massie is actually in trouble is because the Trump administration has decided to oppose him on the basis of completely other issues. And so the usual game that is now played right now on the right, in the very podcastistan right, the game that is played is there will be a critique that has nothing to do with Israel. And the first thing you do is you claim that it's about Israel in an attempt to gin up the crazier part of the Republican base.
So, yeah, I don't even feel the need to, like, lower myself to his level to even explain why this is retarded. But, you know, this is the story being told to the normies out there. Ben Shapiro is the Pied Piper of the normies. He is their shepherd guiding them to the pre-established conclusions, totally independent of reality. It's almost funny. It's almost funny that he's like, Thomas Massey's, you know, the opposition Thomas Massey has nothing to do with Israel. It's about his Epstein conspiracies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to butt in.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, I'm watching that clip in there while writing headlines.
It's crazy.
Netanyahu 8 months ago declares an 8-front war, spends $500 million for our elections. 2 weeks ago, they signed another $760 million. That's her rich Jerusalem Post. To manipulate our elections, say they're doing it. They spent $20 million on Massey. The whole media comes out and they say it has nothing to do with Israel, the deciding factor, and they make it all about Trump's piss stain by other stuff. Yeah, that's part of it, but it's all about Israel controlling our domestic elections. The Secretary of Defense campaigns against him all over the war, which Israel started, and then he's got the nerve with his giant eyebrows. It's like, my eyebrows are gigantic. Sit and listen to me, like, hypnotizing you. I mean, God almighty. I mean, I've never. I mean,
it's insane.
But all he does is. This is for stupid people. He had to listen to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're dumb. You're dumb if you. You're dumb. Israel said they targeted Massey. They said they'll target anybody that doesn't do what they say. And then you sit there and gaslight us. God. The good news is he has no audience, so why? It's just insane.
we shouldn't even be given. But that's what I mean. It's like I don't want to lower myself to trying to explain. Like, he's lying, children. He's just not telling the truth, and everybody should know this.
Netanyahu declared war on members of.
I agree. Well, what can you say? It's not about Israel. Okay, it's about the Iran war, you know, but that's Trump's thing. Oh, it's about Jeffrey Epstein, but that's another, you know, Trump thing. And it's about foreign aid, but, you know, that only a little bit goes to Israel. So it's about foreign aid and the Iran war and the Epstein files, but it's not about Israel. And yes, Israel came out and said this was why, but, you know, we didn't go to war with Iran because of Israel. We're not covering up Jeffrey Epstein because of Israel. We're not releasing the JFK files, but it's not because of Israel. I mean, are you falling for this gaslighting? Like, this is what it's like. Everything in this country right now is just brazen deception, brazen hypocrisy from Donald Trump. When was this? Minutes ago, folks, minutes ago. Horrible Congressman Thomas Massey put out an old endorsement. I was halfway thinking about doing a Trump impression while I do this, or maybe I should do a Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro impression while I do this, since it's their voice coming out of, you know, his Twitter feed. For many years ago of him by me, long before I found out he was the worst congressman in the history of our country, I endorsed Ed Calrain, a true American patriot, which Massey knows full well. So the statement he put out is fraudulent, just like he is fraudulent. Withdraw your face statement, Massey, right now. Donald J. Trump. Yeah, Trump's got Massey derangement syndrome. He's obsessed. He's obsessed. I don't know if I've ever heard Thomas Massey really talk about Donald Trump other than to respond to Trump's outrages. But Trump is clearly obsessed with this. Every day he's putting out multiple statements. Clearly, he's got people on his back. Like, you understand how this works, right? He's got people like Laura Loomer and others pestering him, pestering him, pestering him, pestering him. You know, Thomas Massey, you really got to put out another statement. Your last statement was so good. You're so powerful and amazing, Trump, but we really need another one. You know, Ed Galbraith, we really need this, Trump. This is all about you, and this is for you, and if this goes down, it's going to look really bad for you. We need another statement, Trump. We need another video. We need another Truth Social. I've composed this one. Can you hit send on it? I mean, they are using him as a vessel to destroy their enemy, and he's going along with it willingly. God only knows why. And I think it's open for speculation, but it's almost hilarious that in Ben Shapiro's defense of, you know, Trump in defense of the attack against Thomas Massey, the only thing he can point to is the Epstein files, which, of course, are all centered around Israel. So that doesn't even make sense on the face of it. But clearly that's, you know, the message being pushed. So like I said, Ben Shapiro knows. Donald Trump knows. Thomas Massey knows. Everybody knows that this is about Israel, but they're telling their audience that this is about a referendum on Trump to trick them and to hide the ball and, you know, deflect from the reality of who's doing this to probably one of the greatest congressmen in the history of our country. If we're going to go with superlatives here, I think worst congressman in the history of our country, I think we have about two dozen candidates for that at the moment serving that are all significantly worse than Thomas Massie absolutely ever was. But again, to act like this is about anything other than Israel is suspect. And you know, it is almost like I was explaining yesterday, where you have the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, coming down and campaigning for Thomas Massie. On the face of it, you know, for a normie out there, it's like, wow, Thomas, you know, he's got Thomas Massie's opponent has, you know, the support of this, you know, really powerful person. That's a good thing, right? When in reality, you should be able to see through that and go, this is an inappropriate use of the government. The government should not be dipping their toes in and altering the outcome of a congressional election. Well, why does the Pentagon have such interest in this election? And really, as soon as the Pentagon gets involved in election, thinking people should realize you should be against whatever the Pentagon is trying to tell you to be for. But do people have the ability to see that? So when Ben Shapiro and all these people come out saying, oh, no, this isn't about Israel at all, this is about Donald Trump, like, thoughtful people should be able to just see through that immediately. Instinctually, it's prima facie ridiculous and actually more evidence of just how dishonest and manipulative they all are. Really, this isn't bolstering the argument against Thomas Massie. It's bolstering the evidence that you people are just pathologically dishonest. It's kind of weird. Let's go to clip 14 here. This is this was posted. Israel-affiliated CBS News, right? The state media of Israel, CBS News, interviewed Thomas Massie and didn't have a lot to rebut his statements with. Let's watch.
Are you anti-Semitic?
They're trying to tell you that it's anti-Semitic for me to expose the fact that the Republican Jewish Coalition has spent millions of dollars in this race, that a dual citizen, Miriam Adelson, who even Trump says is more loyal to Israel than the United States, has spent millions of dollars in this race. Those are mere facts. And it's
okay,
really...
But it's a yes or no. Are you anti-Semitic or not?
Oh, hell no. Okay. I'm hell no anti-Semitic. But here's the danger that AIPAC runs. They've been too cute by a half. They've tried to get Mike Johnson, and he's willingly done this, conflate in resolutions on the House floor that anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism. Or even worse yet, that if you don't support Benjamin Netanyahu's war in Gaza, then you're anti-Semitic. That's absolutely false, and it does Jewish Americans a big disfavor to equate the two.
I got to say, you know, obviously he's right about the way they're trying to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. But maybe it's like we need to not be scared of that label anymore. I mean, who cares? Obviously, they're starting the fight. Obviously, it's AIPAC doing this. It's Israel doing this. It's Miriam Adelson doing this. It's Ben Shapiro doing this. It's people from every, you know, end of the spectrum politically all coming together to oppose Thomas Massie because he doesn't endlessly and without reservation support Israel. And that's, again, the actual complaint here. He's not up there. You know, putting forward bills to destroy Israel or, you know, saying everybody in Israel needs to die. He's just saying, look, if we're going to be giving them everything, maybe we should, you know, have some controls on that. Maybe we should not support this war. So it's like, okay, is it anti-Semitic to say that? They say it is. Okay, fine. I mean, I know he's running for office and you can't say that type of stuff these days, but I mean, is that not where this conversation is going? Is that not where, I mean, and we do need to play the longer clip, I realize, because yeah, I wanted to play the shorter clip just to save time. But you need to see the run-up. You need to see the run-up to why Thomas Massie is asked if he's anti-Semitic. Which, again, is just a hilarious question anyway to ask. I'd ask him to define it first. What does that mean? What do you mean anti-Semitic? What did I say that is anti-Semitic? Get them to define it. Get them to explain what they mean. Do they mean that it's anti-Semitic to oppose the destruction and taking over of your political system by a foreign power? Is that anti-Semitic? If it is, okay, then I guess I am. If it's something else, then let's define what it actually means, because it seems like right now it means absolutely nothing other than the wider, you know, Jewish power structure hates you. It's not so much that you hate Jews, it's as much like the Jewish power structure hates you and you're therefore anti-Semitic. And if you don't submit fully and apologize, you'll be destroyed, which is not a good thing to say to Americans, since we tend to buck at that type of bullying, as you'll notice. Let's go to clip number 20 now.
There have been more than $32 million spent on a primary in this congressional district, which is now the most expensive House primary ever in the United States. Is it worth it?
You'd have to ask Miriam Adelson on May 20th if it was worth it. Because, you know, they tried to buy my vote for 14 years and it was never for sale. They've tried, now they're trying to buy a seat here in Kentucky. I think they underestimated the reserve price of my constituents. They waded into this. They thought they could buy this seat with a couple million. That didn't work. And now they're throwing good money after bad. The thing that surprised me is how much money we've been able to raise. I don't have three billionaires who want to just throw their money away. I've got the grassroots, tens of thousands of donations. Average donation for me is about $80. And we've been able to go toe-to-toe. A lot of that $32 million is coming from our side, but it's coming from regular working Americans.
When you say they, that they spent money to try to buy the seat, who are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about the Israeli lobby, AIPAC, Republican Jewish Coalition, Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and John Paulson. These are the groups that have given 95% of the money to my opponent because they're mad at me over foreign policy. Now, what's interesting is my policy has always been no country is special and no country deserves my constituents' taxpayer dollars. So I have never voted for foreign aid to Egypt, to Syria, to Israel, or to Ukraine. But the ones in Israel, since they're the biggest recipients of it, that makes them a little bit mad.
What's so wrong about helping defend Israel from Iranian threats?
We've got debt. I mean, at least with NATO, there's the promise of a reciprocal arrangement. With Israel, it's completely one way. And they've drug us into wars. They've convinced us that Iran is just days away from a nuclear weapon, and they're perpetually that way. This is not our war. Israel, for instance, funds abortions publicly. I think a lot of Republicans would be aghast to know that we're giving $3.8 billion a year, every year, to a country that funds public abortions.
You know that kind of criticism doesn't sit well with fellow Republicans, at least in the House Republican Conference, that there are others who've accused you of all sorts of things regarding Israel, regarding the state of Israel, regarding the Israeli government, regarding Jewish Americans. Are you anti-Semitic?
They're trying to tell you that it's anti-Semitic for me to expose the fact that the Republican Jewish Coalition has spent millions of dollars in this race, that a dual citizen, Miriam Adelson, who even Trump says is more loyal to Israel than the United States, has spent millions of dollars in this race.
We can take it down because we heard his response. So again, basically, this is how we're, I put out a tweet like last year, maybe in 2024, sort of hinting at the same outrage that Thomas Massie is feeling, saying, why do I keep getting called anti-Semitic? Because Jewish people do evil things, right? I don't talk about them because they're Jewish. I talk about them because they're doing evil things. But then people defend them on the basis of them being Jewish. So it's like saying, like, why am I being called anti-Semitic? Because a bunch of Jewish people are trying to kick Thomas Massie out of Congress. We're not supposed to say the reason they're doing it. They come out and say, we're doing this because Thomas Massie isn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And we go, they're doing this because Thomas Massie isn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And they go, you hate Jews. Hello? Is anybody seeing how ridiculous, nonsensical, frankly, stupid all of this is? So we got to like pick a lane. Either like these people are doing it because they're Jewish and you know, predicating it on Jewish values and you know, Jewish prerogatives. And we're allowed to talk about that, or they have to stop doing that, and then we'll stop talking about it. Like, I guess that's the solution here.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, in the bottom, at least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special deals, special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Happy voting day, Kentucky District 4. Today is the day that we get out to the polls and we deliver for the state of Kentucky and the United States as a whole. For those of you that live in Kentucky District 4, I have a contest for you. If you are headed into the polls and on your way out, make a video. Hashtag it with I voted KY4. Don't care how you voted. I voted KY4. We're going to have a bunch of giveaways with swag from all of the creators. We're going to have autograph swag from Thomas Massey. We're also going to have some VIP passes for the Victory Night Party tomorrow and a whole bunch of other stuff. Plus, we're going to stitch all of your videos. So make a video after you voted telling everybody else to get out and vote, saying you voted. You don't have to say how you voted. And hashtag I voted KY4. And we are going to see you and have so much fun tomorrow night. We're going to be out at the polls. For those of you that don't live in Kentucky, that want to make a difference, and you wish you could vote in Kentucky, you guys are going to download the Sway app. That's S-W-A-Y. In it, you're going to sync up your contacts from your phone, and it's going to find any person in your phone that is eligible to vote in Kentucky District 4. And if you don't have any friends in Kentucky District 4, but you have other friends in Kentucky that might be close by, it's going to help you find friends in Kentucky that might know people in District 4. Now, for those of you voting, take your grandma, take your auntie, take your cousins, take your roommates, take your coworkers, take as many people as you can. All of you guys make videos. Let's get more people to the polls. Let's bring our friends. Let's make it a party. And then tomorrow night, we're going to party for real at the Marriott near CVG. I'm going to be there. All of the creators are going to be there. We cannot wait to see you. Happy voting day. Hashtag I voted K-Wife.
Okay, so that is Tiffany Cianci. You can follow her on X at The Vino Mom. And she, of course, is there in Kentucky and has been all week, really. She was here on with us on Thursday and then again on Friday getting that exclusive content in the interview with Thomas Massie from his big campaign event. She's there in Kentucky right now, and she joins us via Zoom. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Good afternoon, Harrison. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sort of on pins and needles, though. I mean, how are things going there in Kentucky? It's voting day today. What do people need to know?
We are pins and needles with you. Obviously, we won't know for a few hours, right? We do know that the early voting numbers were very, very positive. So they look at the last three election cycles and they do the aggregate of the turnout for early voting. And that's how we can kind of gauge a sense of how many people are early voting. And generally, younger voters early vote, older voters vote on the day of because they don't trust early voting.
Right.
That's just very traditionally tactical. And what we've seen is that every single county in District 4 saw at least a 19% increase over expected aggregate. We saw in some of the most important counties of young voters up to 55% increases in early voting over expected aggregate.
Whoa.
So that paints a picture that looks like it could be very positive. It really does. We didn't want to get our hopes up. We obviously have been trying very hard to keep our eyes on getting people to the polls. And today we were out there and we were doing on the ground polling. We sent some of our favorite creators out to the polls and we got some polling numbers. Out of one poll in Boone County, we had 65 votes for Massie, 46 for Gelrain, and then we had about 40 that would not disclose. A lot of people are trying to give more credibility to the non-disclosures being for Gelrain, but I'm not sure that's it. If I were in true red MAGA, must do what Trump says country, I would be more afraid to say I'm voting for Massie.
Right.
And so I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I will say there's been record turnouts and there have been a ton of people at the polls and we're just waiting. We're just waiting.
I got to wonder, do you talk to people who vote Ed Gelrain and why are they saying they're voting for him? I'm still confused that why anybody would vote for him. I'm sort of shocked that he has whatever support he has now. What reason are they giving?
One of our favorite videos that got made today was they said Massey's just too old. And we said, you know, Ed Gelrain's 68 and Massey's 55, right? And they said, well, are you sure? And they had just voted. I swear to you, that was a real conversation on the ground we watched.
Interesting. And I wonder, you know,
because
what...
Because you told me to, Sergeant. Like, I don't know. Right answer.
Well, and I wonder if the AI, you know, ads they're running have had an impact. Like, that's what I'm wondering, if, you know, if people are going, well, I saw a video of him holding hands with AOC and I'm not, you know, down with her. Have you heard anything?
What it was presenting looked like a lot more than holding hands as they walked into a hotel.
Right. And I wonder if I wonder how much... that swayed people or if people have legitimate reasons. I mean, I could understand if they're like, hey, look, I just think, you know, I'm against the libertarian thing. I think America should be an empire. Like, I don't know. There are reasons, I guess, that you'd want to support Ed Gelrain. None of them good. But I wonder just what those are and why people would support Ed Gelrain when Thomas Massie has served the district so well for so long. So is the mood buoyant? Is it hopeful? You know, are y'all preparing the victory party or sort of holding off?
We are heading to the watch party. That's always the non-promissory way you say it during election season, right? We're heading to the watch party. We're wearing dresses and we're excited. We hope so. There's been an immense amount of interest. What I can say that I know, this is what I know. We came to the district, me and the creators that came with me, and we have generated 1.4 billion engagements on just X alone. 1.4 billion in 6 days. Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at all of the platforms we can track, we're at almost 2 billion. We can't track Snapchat. We can't track everything as it moves across Instagram. It's a little bit harder, but that's what we know. All right. What we have done here is we have successfully managed to hold the line and keep it within 1 point on an election that nobody should have survived. It shouldn't even have been close. The fact that anyone is even questioning if Massey's going to win is a testament to how successful he has been as a legislator and how much hope the American people have in him. He should never have survived to this point. Do you know what the traditional cost of this race is?
Oh, a couple hundred thousand, I would think.
Less than $200,000.
Oh.
We're at $35 million.
Yeah.
$35 million in a $200,000 race with a candidate that's never had to mount an apparatus, never had to have a ground game because his constituents love him and are so happy with him. He won 78% of the vote last time. He's never had to build this apparatus. And he had to do it against insurmountable odds this time. That is a testament to how much people love Thomas Massie, respect Thomas Massie. And one of the most common comments we've had is we've seen tons of volunteers coming in from all across the political spectrum. My favorite comment I've seen over and over again is, I disagree with Massie 91% of the time, but I would still vote for him to be my president.
Mm. Because he's got the character, right? I mean, people recognize that and it shines through that, hey, you might disagree with what he's doing, but you can tell he's doing it for a good reason and because he, you know, has morals that he sticks to. And like, maybe that's all you need, you know, at this point to be so much better than everybody else in Washington who seems just amoral, you know, as if it's like a trend.
The bar is in hell, Harrison. It's
yeah.
Literally in hell.
I know. And the fact that, you know, Thomas Massie's having to fight so hard to do this, like I'm of two minds. Obviously, I'm so like happy with the overwhelming support. I'm so impressed with what you guys have done, the billions of views. It's like this really shows that, hey, we might not have tens of millions of dollars to spare, but we can match that with energy, match that with just our you know, effort, you know, human effort putting into it, which I love. And I, you know, that's obviously a very big white pill. But then I'm like, all right. What if he wasn't Thomas Massie? What if it was some smaller congressman? How are they going to get all these people out to support them? How are they going to fight back against the moneyed interest? Or what happens next time? Are we going to do this every 2 years? I mean, this is an extraordinary event, so extraordinary effort is being put into it. But for AIPAC and these things, for them, it's a matter of writing a check. They can put $10 million here, $10 million there, and it's no problem. We have to actually go and invest in this and book hotel rooms and get involved. It's kind of unsustainable. So how do we take the lesson that we're learning here and for sort of future proof farther races? Do you know what I mean?
So they threw $35 million at this race. That is true. They can't afford to throw $35 million at 100 races.
True.
They can't. With 435 people running just, you know, in the House, they can't afford that. They simply can't. What we have to do is make it so toxic to take their money that politicians willingly give it up.
Yes.
And I think we're starting to do that right now. I think that's exactly where we're headed right now, is that we have to make it so toxic to take the money because, and you know, the boomers are tolerating it. They're almost gone. Frankly, I'm just going to say it. They are the last generation that is ever going to allow to happen what has been allowed to happen in this country, with the amount of capture and the amount of power aggregation, the amount of consolidation, right? We are coming into the Gen Xers that will absolutely not.
Yeah.
And the millennials, They are so far gone and so far removed from anyone that's going to come back in a way for Israel based on the way that they have treated the American public. What's been so shocking about this particular election is that normally they hide their money in secret, right? Like we see them hide their money behind like closed doors. We see them trading it in back rooms. That is not what's happened here. They came out and boldly said, we are buying this election. And we're not buying it for America. We're not buying it for Kentucky. We are buying this election for Israel. That is what they have said very boldly. No qualms about it.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, it has nothing to do with Thomas Massie whatsoever. It might be that he's like the thing that they need to use as the example, but this is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to continue to pursue Epstein. This is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to stand up to them.
Yeah.
This is not about Thomas Massie. This is about the remainder of the politicians that might be thinking that they want to disagree with the agenda that's presented to them. And that is why they're being so bold about it. That is why they're being so aggressive about it. And frankly, I find it hard to stomach. But again, this is the last generation they're going to get away with it with. They know it. Their time is waning and they're grabbing for every bit of power they can while they still have it.
I agree. It's just it's interesting that they're only doing this to the Republican Party. I mean, it seems clear that they are putting all of their chips in the Republican Party and just trying to turn that into the Israeli Party. I mean, we've talked about this before with all of these leftist, liberal, Democrat. I mean, they still believe all the things they used to believe, but it's just because they support Israel, now they're becoming Republicans. Alan Dershowitz wrote an essay about this in the Politico article talking about the pro-Israel groups playing a huge part in Thomas Massie's race. They say, unlike in recent Democratic primaries where United Democracy Project has used shell PACs to shield its involvement, the powerful pro-Israel group's political arm is investing directly in taking Massie out. So again, it seems interesting to me that when they're trying to support Democrat politicians, they hide their stuff in shell PACs, but then they come out against Massie and they put their name on it. That I think is it tells you something about the strategy being pursued by the Israeli lobby.
I mean, it requires us to make a big assumption that they want the Republicans to survive as a strong party. This is not, I mean, if we look at where money's been spent and what Charlie Kirk said, very, very, like, very straightforward, is that when you see these particular lobbies, they've been at the forefront of Democratic policymaking for decades. And so this happens to be convenient, right? It happens to be who's in charge right now that they're manipulating. But I wouldn't say that they have any vested interest in any Republican policies actually like surviving this. Any America First policies? Absolutely not. Because America First is not their country first. So no, yeah. I can't picture that.
Well, and it's interesting because yesterday on the show, we were looking up, you know, because Trump said something about Thomas Massie being the worst congressman in all of history. And so we were looking up his liberty score. Of course, he gets a 96%, which is almost as high as you can possibly get. There's about maybe five people ahead of him with perfect 100% scores. And they happen to be amongst those Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been kicked out of the party by Trump. And now Lauren Boebert is being targeted by Trump because she supports Thomas Massie. So is it a coincidence that like literally the most liberty minded, the people who vote along the lines of liberty most in the Republican Party also happen to be the ones targeted by Trump in the Israeli lobby for ousting? I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
I mean, it's only a coincidence if you can allow yourself the fantasy that America First is anything that the lobby would want.
Yeah.
But America First is not in alignment with the plan that they have for us. Yeah. And so, no, I don't think it's a coincidence. No, I don't think it's surprising. And I'm grateful we have politicians that are putting America First. Massie would not say he's America First. I've spoken to him about it a dozen times in the past 2 weeks. And he says, I'm American first. Mm. I'm not going to vote for my country before the people of my country. And the people of my country can't bear much more. They can't handle much more. We really can't push much further before there's nothing left for them.
Yeah, I obviously completely agree. We showed a tweet earlier I hadn't actually seen before. Reports of fraud. You say 50 reports of fraud, and I think you were in that video. Can you elucidate that a little bit for us? What are these fraud reports?
Yeah, the voter fraud hotline had received 54 reports of voter fraud or voter mishandling by noon today.
Wow.
Across 27 counties. We don't know the concentration of the counties yet, but they did say it was a marked increase from prior years. So we were going over that on the Shannon Joy podcast today.
Yeah. So, you know, this is concerning to me because, again, if you've got sort of borderline legal tactics being taken here with Pete Hegseth, the acting, you know, current Secretary of Defense going down and campaigning, that's a little bit fuzzy in the, you know, in the legal campaign laws rules. You've got the AI videos that they're making that are clearly made to look real, to trick people. And so you take sort of everything we know about Thomas Massie's opposition and you go, do you really think voter fraud is, you know, a bridge too far for them? They're willing to lie. They're willing to, you know, bend the rules as it befits them. But God, but they would never cheat in an election. They're too honorable for that. I mean, I'm genuinely concerned that no matter what the real results is, you know, these people are clearly willing to play fast and loose with the rules to get victory. What are we doing to not, you know, to prevent that from happening?
I will say that Thomas Massie has allayed a lot of our fears on this particular issue. He feels very strongly that the voting is safe here in Kentucky. And he says that that's because of just one thing. And that is that in Kentucky, which is not the same in every state, every single county, not district, but county, which there's 120 of them, right? Every single county gets to choose their own voter software, machines, and count method. And so it would be so hard to manipulate across counties when they all have to certify their votes at the end into the Secretary of State and then reaffirm them after they post them. He says it would be very, very difficult to manipulate. I'm hopeful that that is true, obviously. I will also say that there have been so many Hail Marys in the last 3 days. I mean, the Hail Mary after Hail Mary, it's just been ridiculous, right? They sent out Pete Hegseth to violate the Hatch Act blatantly, openly, obviously, no qualms about it, right? Well, why not? The DOJ is not going to prosecute him for it. The inspector general is not going to do anything, right? But that is what happened. And when he arrived here, you would think there would have been a lot of fanfare. Huge turnout for the Department of War if Kentucky's super pro this war in Iran, right? Well, no. They gave him the smallest ballroom in the smallest hotel. It had a grand total of 84 seats. And when he finally took the podium, 13 were still empty. Wow. Not a great turnout.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. No, it's pathetic, which again is shocking to me that Ed Gowrain is apparently keeping up in the polls. It's like, who supports this guy? Nobody comes to his events. You know, nobody's knocking on doors with him, but he's equal in support. Like, there is a major disconnect happening here. And I actually want to go to a video and get your response to it, because this was Ed Gowrain on Fox News, clip 32. He hasn't done a lot of interviews recently or debates, hasn't done any debates. He's basically a non-existent person. I mean, they might as well be running an AI, you know, animation at this point.
Trump said he only needed a warm body and they would vote how he told them to. Those were his words.
Pretty much. And, he said that exactly. And now I'm saying, like, do they even need the warm body? Why not just give us a cardboard cutout of a person if this is, the level of disrespect you're going to, put to the voters? But let's watch this response on Fox and get your response on the other side of it. Let's watch.
On the national polls, he probably is more, reflective of public sentiment on the war in Iran than you are. Would you concede that?
Well, I want to go back to the predicate you just said about him being a physical criminal. He is not. Right as this election's coming up, he's spending taxpayer money. I think it's called franking. And I'm just a farm boy from Kentucky and a career military officer. He was sending out those repeated letters about all the things he was doing, dancing on the head of a pin. And oh, by the way, Laura, I'll just share with the listeners here. Dairy farmers are legendary with being frugal. I'll watch out for these people's penny and nickels. And oh, by the way, I have a master's of science in financial management with honors. I can count a nickel. So back to where he stands, he has betrayed the people here. On the war in Iran, it is as simple as this. It is pre-World War II, 1939. Had we had a decisive president at that juncture, just think of all the memorials across this nation that wouldn't have names on them. They said exactly what we're going to do. Laura, I want to finish with this. I have challenged mainstream media. The Pulitzer Prize is waiting for you to see where his money's coming from, to include the people that celebrate the killing of my friends and teammates. I'll leave that on the table.
Again, just completely insane, incoherent, really. I mean, he says Thomas Massie is not a fiscal conservative. The man who built by hand a debt tracker that he wears every second he's on Capitol Hill, he's not a fiscal conservative. And how much do you love the, I'm just a country boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and a high level class secret classified top secret clearance? It's like, what?
There is something no one is talking about. Okay. Everyone knows he left the Republican Party in 2016 when Trump was elected. Okay. We all know that. We also know that he went and got a job and conspicuously, as soon as he came back to this race, his LinkedIn profile was updated, because do you know what he was doing?
What?
For that 5 years he left the Republican Party?
What?
He was a DEI coach to corporations to help them understand how to implement gender neutral language, using their pronouns, how to better have a gender fluid conversation style, how to make sure that they change their boards of directors. That's where he's been for the last 5 years. So tell me about your dairy farmer boy from Kentucky. I got nothing for it.
You know, I'm just a good old boy.
He knows where the money is. When the money's good in DEI, he's there. When they're ready to bring him back here, suddenly he's a Republican again and not an independent. I don't want to hear it. Thomas Massie has been the same man for 16 years, standing up for the principles he's promised for, and that's why we're here.
Listen, I'm just a good old boy from Kentucky that's here to shove DEI down your throat as I work towards the transnational globalist anti-human agenda. I mean, it's like a cartoon. It's like hilarious. He literally says, I'm just a boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and high level, top secret clearance. So I don't know, but I know how to count a nickel. I mean, it's like, it should be insulting. How are people not insulted by this minstrel show they're putting on with Ed Gowrain? It's like the most offensive thing ever. It's like trying to appeal to a black constituency by painting your face black and putting big red lips and going, I don't know nothing, boy. I just want to go up to Washington, D.C. I mean, it's like, They're treating you like rubes. Why are you supporting them? It's crazy that this guy has any support whatsoever.
I will tell you, yesterday, we went on a very long drive. Thomas Massie's district is huge. By the standards of districting in the United States, it stretches all the way across Kentucky, hooks around both sides of Louisville, and it goes all the way across the mountains, okay? And we did a 2.5-hour drive up to Vanceburg. And Vanceburg has no cell service. The Starlinks didn't work there. We botched at least 4 or 5 interviews trying to get them done from up there. But when I say that they went to this place, we pulled in not knowing what to expect. And it was the most picturesque scene I've ever seen. It looked like we were in the Swiss Alps. We were at the top of the mountains, gorgeous blue lake, 2 feet from us. And they had hundreds of people lined up all the way as far as the eye could see to take photos with Thomas Massie. Wow. In the middle of nowhere yesterday.
Sounds like heaven.
So I've got to hope that they turned out at the polls today in the same way.
Well, so what's next? Obviously, we're going to be checking in with Kriston T. Harris. He's another creator there in Kentucky helping to monitor things. We got a minute left. What is your pitch to the people of Kentucky or the people of America? How do we get involved? How do we monitor this situation? And what do we need to know?
Kentucky, if you are watching right now, it is not too late for you to get up and go to the polls. The polls are open until 6 p.m. You have to go to your assigned voting location. If you don't know where that is, you go to thomasmassie.com/vote. You can get there as late as like literally 5:59. The law in Kentucky states you must be lined up before 6 p.m. and then the polls have to stay open until the lines are finished. So if you have a line down the block around the corner 2 miles long, the polls have to stay open until every one of you votes, but you must be in that line before 6 p.m. So please get out there, bring your friends, your roommates, your aunts, your uncles, your grandma that forgot it was today. Get everybody out there and don't let these people trick your state. Don't let them give you a warm body. Don't let them give somebody that's been out lying about his military service, lying about his relationships, and lying about where he's been as he was not a Republican for the last 5 years, coming back now to put on this show for you. Get out there and represent your state. Represent what the people that have been serving your state, what they mean to you and what you mean to them. Please go to the polls.
Absolutely. Powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Tiffany. We'll be monitoring your social media and bringing people updates as they arrive. Thank you so much. Follow Tiffany on X at The Vino Mom. That's T-H-E-V-I-N-O-M-O-M on X. And doing incredible stuff. And we await with bated breath the results of this very important contest. Thank you, Tiffany.
Have a great night, Harrison.
All right. We'll talk soon. Folks, we'll be right back with the second hour of War Room Live. Don't go anywhere, folks. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. We'll be right back. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over.
You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get 3 products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.